Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. It's our spring membership drive. More about that in just a moment. A profanity-laden Truth Social post on Easter Sunday related to Iran by President Trump came as a shock to many. Since then, cries from the left and some moderates for invoking the 25th Amendment are growing louder. In addition, President Trump has threatened to annihilate Iran's entire civilization, and over the weekend he instituted a blockade in a key shipping channel, the Strait of Hormuz, saying that no ships will enter or leave until Iran agrees to Trump's demands. We're talking about national politics this hour with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Welcome back to All Sides, Ken.
Good morning, Amy. I'm wondering why a profane-laden tweet by the president would cause anybody shock, given the fact that nothing shocks anybody anymore.
Well, I think because it was on Easter Sunday, instead of sending an Easter Sunday message, maybe.
That could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could do it.
Well, as I just mentioned, President Trump's profanity-laden post, his threats to Iran, it's caused concerns for some of his supporters. Our NATO allies are concerned. For the most part, are Trump's core supporters sticking with him on everything in Iran, do you think?
You know something? I don't know. I mean, remember, his own vice president was against this war from the beginning, and J.D. Vance was in, he was in Pakistan trying to be part of the negotiations that fell apart over the weekend. So I think there is some erosion. I mean, of course, there is the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world who have broken away in the past month, several months. But given what's going on with Iran, given the fact that there was a split over whether you'd back Prime Minister Orban in Hungary, given the fact that there are just so many things about the policies of President Trump that are starting to get a lot of Republicans nervous about the elections, there seems to be some, I don't know if erosion is the right word, but consternation is probably the better word.
Mm. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. We have two wonderful thank you gifts to tell you about this hour. The first is the WOSU Retro Railroad Tracks logo t-shirt. This brings back a fan favorite look from decades past in collaboration with Columbus-based Homage. And since the shirt is made by Homage, you know it's going to be soft, comfortable, and high quality. You can support the station and get this great t-shirt. Take a look at it at WOSU.org. The second thank you gift we have this hour is a really fun event. We're hosting a special members-only Politics and a Pint event. This is a great way to connect with the WOSU community. On Thursday, June 25th, join us for a members-only Politics and a Pint at Seven Sun Brewing. You'll hear from a panel of journalists, including myself and Mike Thompson. We'll analyze current events, break down some key issues, and have a lively conversation. Plus, everyone who attends this event will take home a brand new pint glass. The pint glass says, "Power to the Public." On one side, it has our station logo, and on the other side, it says, "Power to the Public." And your first drink is on us. So get a ticket to Politics and a Pint, get a pint glass, and one drink of your favorite beverage. Join us and support the station. Give right now at WOSU.org. Listeners across our community are stepping up to support public media. Choosing to give monthly is a great way to keep this service strong and reliable. When you join them as a sustainer, you'll become a part of what makes this all possible. So start your monthly gift today at WOSU.org. Ken, as a student of political history that you are, has any U.S. president ever made such dire threats against another country as President Trump has made threats on Iran? I mean, I'm thinking back, you know, Roosevelt, Truman during the height of World War II. Can we compare those two?
No, I really think that Donald Trump is absolutely incomparable to any of the past presidents. And I think because if you watch the way he thinks, if you watch the way he reacts, it is so mercurial and is so impulsive that I don't think, you know, given what's at stake, given the fact that the world could be at war with some, you know, wrong move or something, there is so much that he's risking, that Donald Trump is risking, And yet he goes along with it. He'll talk one day, one minute about, bombing Iran back to the Stone Age, and the next time he said, okay, let's negotiate. That's what he did in Venezuela. There was negotiations, and then suddenly they come in and to take President Maduro and his wife and bring him to the United States for to stand trial. So there were so many things that there are so many decisions that Donald Trump seems to make in 1 minute and then switch the next, that there's no way to predict what's going to happen. And certainly we've never seen anything like this in our history. And it continues every day. You said, I don't know what's surprising anymore, but you just sit and watch and say, how long is this going to go on? And you talk about, well, some people are now talking about the 25th Amendment. Well, of course, the 25th Amendment means that you need a majority of the cabinet to come in and remove the president. Well, I mean, aside from the fact that Donald Trump is removing members of the cabinet that he feels not so much disloyal, but ineffective, there's certainly the temperature for removing the president among his cabinet members doesn't seem to exist as of yet.
Well, back to the World War II analogy for a second. I mean, what about, what truly ended World War II, the atomic bombs? I mean, are there any parallels here with Iran when he says he's going to annihilate a civilization? I mean, I have to hope we don't get that extreme, but my goodness.
No, but it's also the language. He seems to have this joy, this zeal for talking about total annihilation and back to the Stone Age, and which we're gonna destroy all their power sources and destroy their water supplies, which so many people are saying this sounds like to them to be war crimes. Now, of course, there's not much things to compare in history with the dropping of two atomic bombs over Japan in 1945, but that wasn't done with relish. I mean, President Truman said, okay, guys, I'm going to drop these bombs on you, and I'll let's see what happens. I mean, this was World War II, which was going on for 4 years for the United States anyway, and just terrible things were happening, and the decision to drop the bomb was not casual or cavalier. But there seems to be a certain relish that Donald Trump, when he's not watching WWE wrestling, he's talking about, annihilating a country and wiping out a civilization. And again, whatever happened in World War II, and I'm not diminishing the horror of both sides of what happened there, there wasn't the zeal and the anxiousness and the excitement, almost like it was a sporting event to drop bombs and destroy civilizations the way we see now.
You're listening to All Sides during our membership drive. We count on listeners for the most important part of our budget. We rely on listener support to bring you great programs every day. So make a gift now at WOSU.org or call us 866-897-9678. If you're looking for a different kind of night out, join WOSU Public Media for a special members-only Politics in a Pint, Thursday, June 25th. It's a relaxing evening at Seventh Sun Brewing and a lively discussion with a panel of experts unpacking the headlines of the day. You'll receive a ticket to Politics in a Pint, and you'll also receive a Power to the Public pint glass and your first pour. So this pint glass has our station's name on one side, and then it says Power to the Public on the other side. This glass is a great way to toast your love for public radio. So join us at Politics in a Pint. Make your gift today at WOSU.org. And if you can't make it to Politics in a Pint, you can pick up our other thank you gift. It's the vintage WOSU retro logo tee. This is an old logo that's making a comeback on a brand new shirt for you. The shirt is made with Columbus-based homage, and this classic logo is about 40 or 50 years old. So you'll be reliving that old logo with us in this comfortable, easy to wear, and simple way to show your support. Give at WOSU.org. And this is a great time to support public radio because, it's no secret that public radio has had changes in the way we are funded. But we're still here. We are here thanks to listener support. So if you listen to All Sides every day, today is the perfect day to show your support. The team at All Sides works hard to cover a diverse range of topics. We cover the news of the day. We cover long-term trends. We cover national politics with Ken Rudin. We take on national issues but give them a Central Ohio perspective. If having a talk show on the radio daily that is local, if that's important to you, now is the time to act and support this station. Give in the amount that works for you at WOSU.org. Ken, the president, just a couple more questions related to Iran. The president gave a primetime address where he explained a little more about why we're in Iran. He talked in more detail. It was kind of one of those rallying behind the flag kind of speeches because he had the flags behind him. But what do you think the American people think now? I mean, we have increasing cost of gas. The president's declining poll numbers are still there. Do you think that primetime address helped at all?
No, I don't think it made any change at all. Mm. And I'm not even sure to say I would describe it as explaining why we were in Iran. I don't think the justification is even out there. We don't know what the goals are. We don't know what he hopes the end result to be. And of course, now, you know, once upon a time, it was just, you know, total surrender by the Iranians. And then he says, okay, now we have to have a ceasefire. There's so many back and forth with his mood and his strategies that people are just basically dizzy about it. And, you know, I and as far as, you know, the American public, what they do know is that gas prices have just zoomed up in the past, you know, since February 28th, when the invasion of Iran began, and there's no sign that it's going down any sooner. And if the president, as he said yesterday, is going to impose a blockade over Iran, and Iran is going to perhaps respond by dumping more mines into the Strait of Hormuz, then the prices will definitely go up. You know, it was very interesting the other day when the news came out about a ceasefire, and then the Dow jumped up 1,300 points. Mm-hmm. And say, my God, are people falling for these headlines just so this Dow is affected? And because today, or in the last, you know, a couple of days anyway, you know, from last week, when it didn't seem like that there was going to be an agreement after all, then the Dow went down again. So I think Trump is acknowledging that the gas prices are going to continue to go up. And, you know, if his reason for election in 2024 was that Joe Biden couldn't deal with the economy, that prices were getting out of control, I mean, nobody's talking about eggs anymore. And people are just trying to, you know, afford to drive anywhere. So I think that the news, the economic news, is not good as far as rising prices, things like that. And again, the election, you know, you still have a bunch of months to go, but I think the election is coming quicker and quicker, and there's no good news in the interim. Like, it's not like we're heading towards some optimism before what's going to happen for the Republicans in November. And I think Trump and especially his Republican allies in Congress, I know it better than anybody.
Well, no one's talking about eggs anymore, Ken, because the egg prices have come down, right? That's a success.
That's great. Yeah. Maybe I could just, you know, break a few yolks into my gas tank and see if I can, how far I can get. But, you know, people say,
I wouldn't recommend that. No.
No.
There
are a lot of things I won't recommend. You know what I would recommend? You talked about the pint. I think drinking heavily, I think, is the answer. I think, you know, anybody who covers politics and studies politics and watches this president, who, and especially those of us who have watched previous presidents, I think drinking heavily may be the way for sanity. I think
we are not recommending drinking heavily. We're just recommending a pint event.
No.
Yes, of course. Thanks to Amanda Zucker from Marion. Thanks for getting us started this hour. You can make this hour a great success when you join us for our Politics and a Pint event. It returns on June 25th. It'll be a members-only event at Seven Sun Brewing. And everyone who comes to Politics in a Pint, this members-only event, will get a Power to the Public pint glass, and your first pour will be on us. This is a good-looking pint glass. Show your public radio pride with this glass. And it has our station logo on one side and says Power to the Public on the other side. This glass celebrates the power of public media. So check it out, start a sustaining gift, and join us for Politics in a Pint at Seventh Sun Brewing in June. I'll be there. Mike Thompson will be there. We'll have a couple of State House experts with us, too, and we'll take your questions. Learn more about the gift at WOSU.org. You mentioned the 25th Amendment before. Political
25th Amendment, yeah.
Yeah, political commentators are talking about it, but especially because of starting everything with Iran without congressional approval. But you were saying, I guess I don't know how the 25th Amendment works. So the cabinet has to do it. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Yeah. Basically led by the vice president. Now, some, you know, Machiavellian types are saying, well, that would be great for J.D. Vance to get rid of the president and then he could take over. But no, basically, the 25th Amendment is instituted once the cabinet takes action that the president is not fit to serve. And
I need to go back to my high school civics class and relearn a few things,
well,
I guess.
We never had to think of those things before. I mean, nobody talked about 25th Amendment until Trump's first term, and they're talking about it more. And you know, but look, the one thing, you know, the first things first, the election, and you wonder about, you know, I was thinking of the election in Hungary this weekend, mm-hmm. which was so dramatic and so fascinating to watch, given the fact that this guy, Viktor Orban, is such an autocrat, and, you know, he was suppressing the rights of so many people and all these things. And yet he did allow the election to go on, and he lost overwhelmingly, which is pretty remarkable. I mean, it was supposed to be a close election 4 years ago, and he won overwhelmingly. So you wonder, well, maybe there is fair elections in Hungary, and it would be nice to think that that's the case in the United States too. But clearly, with the Save America Act and so many different things that the Republicans are trying to do to suppress the vote and limit the vote and limit who can vote, you just wonder if, I mean, this is just remarkable to even think of, but whether the elections in America would be as free and open as they were in Hungary on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Thank you to Julia Watson from Columbus. Thanks for your support today. You can join Julia and support public radio right now. You know, the news cycle can be relentless, and All Sides has been covering it all, from affordable housing to the latest bills moving through the State House. You listen to NPR and WOSU to learn something new and understand what's happening in the world around you. Make a gift today and show your support. You could get the WOSU Retro Railroad Tracks logo tee. This design returns with the help of Homage. Right here are Columbus friends at Homage. The logo's about 40 to 50 years old. We're bringing it back with the help of Homage. So don't miss out on getting this great-looking shirt and showing your public media pride. You could show your WOSU pride. Everyone who sees you in the shirt is going to ask, where'd you get that shirt? And you could say you're a member of WOSU. See a picture of it now and make a gift at WOSU.org. And this is All Sides. This is our membership drive. We're talking about national politics this hour with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast.
Amy, you mentioned earlier about this, you're planting things on May 5th, and there's going to be a lot of dirt.
We're having a drinks and dirt event. Yes, that's...
Well, you realize on May 5th, that's the Ohio primary date.
I know.
And I'm just wondering if you're having a lot of dirt on politics on the same day, is whether it's intentional or not.
The dirt on primary day. Yes. Well,
yeah.
I hope that everyone votes and then comes to politics in a pint, right? Because even in primaries, even though turnout is low, it is important to vote in the primary, right?
Well, yeah, but unfortunately, I mean, for those of us old timers who remember exciting primaries in Ohio, and here I go again, John Glenn versus Howard Metzenbaum or Bob, you know, Bob Taft versus Jim Rhodes. You think of all the excitement of those primaries, and really 2026 in Ohio is basically, we know who the nominees are going to be for the governorship and the Senate. So I kind of miss the knockdown, drag out fights for the primaries.
If you want to learn more, so I did a show just a couple of weeks ago with a political strategist here in Ohio. His name's Dale Butlin. He wrote a book. It's a brand new book. It's called When Ohio Was Blue. And it's about his 20-year journey with John Glenn. He was John Glenn's chief of staff, and he worked for the Metzenbaum campaign a lot. So if you want to reminisce, Ken, I highly recommend the book, When Ohio Was Blue.
I reminisce all the time. I look to the past and say, God, those were the days, and these are not the days. But that's for another conversation.
Well, since you brought up Ohio, we can talk about Ohio. Newsweek magazine is reporting that prediction markets, you know, our favorite form of gambling. Just kidding. Yeah. Prediction markets are showing that Ohio's governor's race is pretty tight. And in some of the prediction markets, it's tilting toward a Democratic victory for Dr. Amy Acton over GOP candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Depends on the poll you'll look at, but or the bet you want to make, I guess. What are you hearing about Ohio's governor's race right now?
Well, not much, only because, again, we know who the candidates will be in the May 5th primary, who's going to come out of it. So there's really not that much excitement as there has been in previous primaries, like in Texas and Illinois so far. But the fact is that, you know, I look at a lot of the releases, the press releases and the statements by Ramaswamy. And he says a lot. He said, look, you know, we're trailing. We're really hurting. And of course, a lot of candidates like to say that so they can get more contributions and more enthusiasm. But the fact is that if Donald Trump is a drag on the Republicans in Ohio, then maybe, you know, Acton does win. And maybe, you know, Sherrod Brown does return to the Senate. But it is interesting that, the fact that Barack Obama won Ohio twice pretty convincingly, and then Donald Trump comes in and wins Ohio three times pretty convincingly, it shows the shock, to me anyway, of how Ohio has gone from blue to red so quickly. You know, it wasn't a long time thing. It was right after Obama and then Trump, and boom, it turned into a red state. We'll see if that changes in November, but Donald Trump has a lot to do with it.
The phrase, as Ohio goes, so goes the nation, it seems like such a long time ago, but it's something people used to say all the time.
It used to be a swing state, like even Iowa, too. Iowa is also a very swing state, and now it's so ruby red, which is just remarkable. But, you know, for better or worse, Donald Trump has changed the Republican Party in some ways that he's brought a lot of people into the political system whom perhaps never would have voted before, the forgotten Americans. You know, we talked about Richard Nixon's and the forgotten Americans and things like that. But Donald Trump has really brought a lot of people who have never cared about politics before into the system. And, you know, he speaks for a lot of people who feel that they've been neglected. So it's a different Republican Party, certainly, than we've seen in the past. And But just like anybody, if the president is unpopular, if the policies are unpopular, if gas prices and inflation seem to rise, if we have a unwinnable war or a losing war, as we had in Vietnam that hurt President Johnson, as we had in Iraq that hurt President Bush, things can change in a jiffy.
Those people you're talking about who came out to vote, who hadn't been voting for before because President Trump inspired them to get involved in politics, will they come out for a 2026 election when Trump's name is not on the ballot?
That's a great question. I mean, the perfect example, I mean, again, going back into the past, is Ronald Reagan. I mean, we know how popular Ronald Reagan was. He won a landslide election in 1980 over President Carter. In 1984, he carried 49 states over Walter Mondale, which is just remarkable. But in 1982, the Republicans lost a lot of, like, 23, 24 seats in the House because Reagan wasn't on the ballot, even though he was campaigning for a lot of Republicans. In 1986, after 6 years of Reagan, the Republicans lost the Senate completely. And even though Ronald Reagan campaigned for Republicans around the country, his personal popularity wasn't transferable to the candidates. So we'll see what happens. And the question is, you know, Ronald Reagan was still popular in 1986. In 2026, are Republican candidates going to want Donald Trump coming in campaigning for them? That's a real question.
Yeah, I guess we'll see if Trump is out and about in all the states in October or not. But I mean, it remains
to be
seen.
That's one of the things that J.D. Vance was saying. And people, you know, J.D. Vance goes to Hungary and campaigns for Viktor Orban and he loses. So Democrats are saying, great, have J.D. Vance come out and campaign for Republicans in the country. Let's see how that works out.
Not quite the lucky charm there. J.D.
Maybe
Vance.
Not.
Maybe not. This is All Sides. This is our membership drive, and we're asking you to show your support today. A monthly gift to WOSU helps power local news, the programs you listen to, and the conversations you rely on. It's steady support that makes a real difference every day. Start your sustaining gift right now at WOSU.org. And make your support go further with a unique experience. Politics in a Pint is Thursday, June 25th. Sorry about that. This is a members-only event at Seventh Son Brewing featuring a conversation with experts exploring stories and topics that are making news right now. You will get a ticket to Politics and a Pint, and your ticket includes a Power to the Public pint glass and your first pour. This is a good-looking pint glass. Show your public radio pride with this glass that has our station logo on one side and says Power to the Public on the other side. This glass celebrates the power of public media. Check it out. And be sure to get your ticket to Politics in a Pint. Go to WOSU.org. Ken, let's turn back to Ohio again for another Ohio race, the Senate. If the state tilts a little bit blue in the governor's race, do you think Sherrod Brown could also return to the Senate, or does John Husted have an advantage since he's in the seat right now?
Well, yeah, I don't know how much incumbency will be a plus in a year when there could be a lot of voter dissatisfaction. So that's the question as well. Also, the fact that Sherrod Brown is of, is he 72? Is he 74? Actually, I should know how old he is. But the fact is,
someone can can someone search that up for me real quick?
Well, yeah. I'm sure Marcus will post that in 1 second. Mm, yeah. But the fact is that, you know, he's been around since the early 1970s. He's been on a ballot almost every election since the 1970s. And, you know, the thing about John Husted, I've always felt is that, well, he's not.
He's 73. You were close. So you said he's either 72 or 74. Well, he's 73 right there. There you go.
I think he just did that for spite. Anyway, but the fact is that Husted, I think, appeals to both wings of the Republican Party, the Bernie Moreno, J.D. Vance wing, the very conservative wing, and the Mike DeWine wing. So I think he's probably the best Republican to run in a year like this. He's not, but he has, I mean, if you listen to Husted since he's been to the Senate, his so-called moderation, his so-called establishment Republicanism has been, I think, thwarted by an overwhelming desire to be on Trump's good side. So maybe if like in 1974, when a lot of Republicans stuck with Richard Nixon and to their dismay and they went down to defeat, it's very possible that Republicans who stick with Trump will pay the price as well. But again, I think if I was giving odds, I think the Democrats have a better shot at the governor's race than they do in the Senate. But again, this is just April and we have a long way to go.
We do have a long way to go. And that primary that you mentioned is coming up on May 5th. This is all
with the dirt.
Yes. You can attend the Drinks of Dirt event, but we hope for this hour you attend our Politics in a Pint event, because this hour we're talking about national politics with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. And I'm losing my voice, Ken. I'm sorry. Pam Bondi has been ousted as attorney general, and sources claim President Trump was upset with her handling of the Epstein files. Ken, what do you make of women being the only members of the Trump administration who have been fired thus far?
Isn't that something? I mean, you think of what Cash Patel has done, what Bobby Kennedy has done, what Pete Hegseth has done, and the craziness that comes out of his mouth. And yet the two cabinet members who have gone are Kristi Noem, former governor of South Dakota, and Pam Bondi. What's fascinating to me about Pam Bondi is that, I mean, I can't hide my antipathy towards Pam Bondi, watching her in these combative congressional hearings where they'll ask her a question and say, well, you're a stupid idiot. Well, what about the time when you voted against this? Well, what about this and that? So it just seems so ugly. So except the reasons I disliked Pam Bondi is not why Trump fired her. That's what's amazing. Hmm. She wasn't Trump enough. I mean, you think, who is more loyal to Donald Trump than Pam Bondi? Nobody. And yet it wasn't enough, because she didn't put the Epstein story on the back pages. All the things with her, the battles she had with members of Congress, it just wasn't what Trump said. Look, it's not working. It's not effective, and her numbers are really bad. So it's not that she wasn't Trumpy enough, or wasn't. You know, Trump always said you're going to get tired of winning. She wasn't winning enough, and that's really what ended her career, or at least currently ended her career, which is remarkable, because she did everything that Trump asked of her, except, you know, it wasn't in her power to wipe the Epstein story off the front page. And neither did Melania Trump. I mean,
Oh
when Melania,
yeah.
I mean, what was that all about to say that I have nothing to do with the Giselle and Jeffrey Epstein. And meanwhile, there are things in the Epstein files that shows Melania sending sweet notes to Giselle Maxwell and love and my honey bunch. And I
Yeah,
mean.
what was that all about? Melania Trump rarely speaks in public, but she made a speech about the Epstein victims. Where did that come from? Do we and it seemingly came out of nowhere, yeah.
And Trump says, or at least the Trump people said they were blindsided by it. That I mean, I don't know who to believe about anything about Epstein anymore. But it sounds like that this was not expected, and apparently there was somebody who knew stuff about Epstein and Giselle Maxwell that was talking. I think she was some. She had some kind of involvement in it, and she says, I know a lot more than people think. And when that woman posted that on, I forgot her name, the woman's name, but when she posted, I know more about Epstein than you know, I think her name was Amanda Ungaro. When she posted that on social media, it seemed like Melania had to jump into action and say, oh, no, this is not true. They didn't, Epstein didn't introduce me and Donald. We met at a party, blah, blah, blah. So they seem to be very defensive. And again, people say, are we going to ever learn the truth? I don't know. I think a big start would be Democrats winning control of Congress in November, and I think they will. And so we'll just see what happens. But right now, it seems like the administration is treading water when it comes to Epstein.
You are running out of time to make a gift this hour. This is our membership drive. Support public radio today at WOSU.org or call us 866-897-9678. When you give, you have a chance to attend a great event. And this is more than an event. It's a chance for you to be a part of the conversation. Join us on Thursday, June 25th for WOSU's Members Only Politics in a Pint at Seventh Sun Brewing. Hear from a group of experts who are going to help you make sense of the day's top stories. Connect with others and enjoy your first pour in your very own Power to the Public pint glass. Reserve your spot right now. We have a limited number of seats, and we want to see you at this Members Only Politics and a Pint event. This is a great way to show that you support public radio. Everyone who attends this event will get our brand new pint glass. The glass says Power to the Public on one side and has our station logo on the other side. And at the event, your first drink, your beverage, your favorite beverage of your choice is on us. And you can raise your glass to public radio with me. I'll be there. Mike Thompson will be there. We'll have a couple of experts with us. We have a limited number of seats to this event, so get your ticket and get your pint glass and come to Politics in a Pint. Reserve your spot now at WOSU.org. And you'll be supporting public radio. If you listen to All Sides every day, you know this show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. You hear from our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday morning. You hear our Thursday segments called Fascinating Ohio, where we introduce you to neighbors from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. You hear facts straight from newsmakers and experts. Support a local talk show. If you listen and rely on this show, we're asking you to make a gift right now before this hour ends. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.
I wanted to ask you more about the cabinet. So Defense Secretary, or Secretary of War, whatever you prefer to call him, Pete Hegseth, he included a journalist on that group chat many months ago now. And then FBI Director Kash Patel has been under scrutiny. Why do you think they still have their jobs?
I don't know. It's interesting because when you think of the first iteration of a Trump presidency, he had no hesitation of getting rid of people quickly. Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, for one. I mean, there were a lot of members of his cabinet that he just threw overboard with no hesitation. But the fact is that they were more establishment, more independent of Donald Trump than the cabinet is today. And this is really a cabinet of true loyalists. So people will point out it's interesting that they, the two cabinet members he got rid of were women, And there are a lot of people say, well, that's hardly a coincidence. But I think, look, I mean, unless there's going to be a wholesale unloading of the cabinet, which we saw with, I guess, Gerald Ford in 1974, 75, there hasn't been a real, unloading of cabinet in bad times. But again, Donald Trump has a very effective way, or at least he has a way of putting throwing others under the bus. And if it'll help his presidency, he'll show no hesitation of getting rid of. But another name on the list is Tulsi Gabbard. It's interesting. She's the director of national intelligence, and she's been barred from meetings when it comes to talk about war plans with Iran. Now, the knock on Gabbard before she was picked is that she was thought by many Democrats, some Democrats who said this, is that she was a Russian asset. She did a lot of things that the Kremlin seemed to really like. So, of course, that's why Donald Trump picked her. But again, Tulsi Gabbard, the fact that she's been barred from many of these sensitive meetings makes me think that she may be next as well. But I mean, to watch Hegseth and the things he says, and just and his is how he sees relationships with the press. Of course, Donald Trump probably agrees with him, but I think Donald Trump is more effective with this kind of attacks on the press than Hegseth is. But unless he's going to get rid of everybody, I still think there are going to be more heads to be chopped off, and maybe it would be nice to see some male heads just to even out the ledger.
I wanted to pivot to the California governor's race. U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell suspended his campaign for California governor last night. He faces allegations of sexual assault and misconduct. Swalwell says the allegations from at least four women, he says they are false. But he announced on Sunday that he would take the fight outside his campaign. What do you make of all of this? Him stopping the campaign, these accusations, like what's going on here, Ken?
Well, it reminds a lot of Democrats of Al Franken of Minnesota, who was, a big proponent of women's rights and fighting for women, who was caught, doing something. I mean, I don't think what Al Franken was accused of even compares to what Swalwell is accused of. But Swalwell's initial reaction was, how come I'm leading in the polls for the governorship of California? The election is, the first primary is in June. And of course, there's like 12 people running, and all the candidates, Democrats and Republicans, run on the same ballot, and the top two finishers move on to November. So with 10 Democrats and two Republicans, a lot of Democrats were fearing that two Republicans could very well, the Democrat vote would be split, and the two Republicans will go into the general election, even though they're so outnumbered in California. So they said, gee, what a coincidence that Eric Swalwell is being attacked right when he's leading in the polls and he's a front runner, perhaps front runner for governor. Having said that, and the Democrats also say, well, why doesn't Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth, others who have been accused of, and Bobby Kennedy, who've been accused with, cheating on their wives, cheating on their spouses, and why do they stay in office and why do they prosper? But that's not the issue. That's not what Democrats should stand for. Not that why should we pay the price when they don't pay the price? Democrats, Swalwell, and that's the crime of Swalwell, if it's true. And the fact is that, the fact that several women, more women, seem to be coming forward or regarding Swalwell, regarding either sexual harassment or sexual, or even things as severe as rape. And Swalwell says, I'm completely innocent of all these things. It's not true, but I want to apologize to my wife for things I've done. And then you say, well, what does that mean? If all these things are not true, why are you apologizing to your wife? Does that mean you did have affairs with women, but they didn't amount to rape? I mean, conjecture makes no sense at this point. But the point is, for somebody who led the polls because he was such an effective counterbalance to Donald Trump and Trump's, lack of moral standing. And Eric Swalwell may have done the same exact thing, or a similar thing when it comes to abusing women. It's a disgrace. And Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and so many people who backed him, immediately jumped off the Swalwell bandwagon, and all the unions that endorsed him. And, you know, he was probably the perfect candidate because Katie Porter was running, and she and not everybody likes her. She has a very tough temper. A lot of people said, you know, she's too volatile to run for governor. And Tom Steyer is a billionaire who's also running. And people say, oh, enough with the billionaires already. So Eric Swalwell seemed to be the guy that Democrats could rally around. And so it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for somebody who has so much going for him. But it's also a disgrace if it's true. And ending his campaign seemed to be the only thing that makes sense. And now there's, of course, pressure on him to resign from Congress as well. Mm-hmm.
This is All Sides. This is our membership drive. You're running out of time to take advantage of our thank you gifts this hour and show your support for shows like this one. Make a gift right now while Ken is on the air with us. We're hoping to hear from 10 more people before the hour ends, and we have about 16 minutes remaining. We could definitely meet this goal when we hear from you. If you're ready for a little nostalgia, then you can get the WOSU Retro Railroad Tracks logo t-shirt. We are collaborating with Homage right here out of Columbus to bring back a familiar look that you can wear anytime. This t-shirt brings back a retro logo on an Homage t-shirt, so you know it's high quality, and the shirt is going to look great and be comfortable. Check it out and make a gift at WOSU.org. And another thank you gift we have is you can be a part of the conversation. On June 25th, we invite you to a members-only Politics and a Pint at Seventh Sun Brewing. It's going to be an evening of thoughtful discussion led by a panel focused on the biggest headlines and what they mean. Plus, everyone who attends gets a Power to the Public pint glass, and your first drink is included. You are going to love this new pint glass. It says Power to the Public because we are all celebrating the power of public media. That power is listener support. It's you. So make a gift. Join us for this fun event. Get your very own pint glass to take home. Make that gift today at WOSU.org. And I was looking for 10 more gifts before the end of the hour. I want to say thank you to Denise Bauer from Johnstown. Denise wrote a comment, Ken. She says, love me some Ken Rudin.
Well, she'll love this comment. You were talking about the T-shirt,
yeah.
Right? The retro T-shirt.
Yeah.
That it was from a logo of 50 years ago.
It was a logo we used 50 years ago. Yeah.
And you say, I think, oh my God, 50 years ago. That's such a long time ago.
Yeah.
But 50 years ago was 1976 when Howard Metzenbaum unseated Robert Taft.
Your favorite,
Senate,
yeah.
And that was yesterday.
I got it.
Yesterday.
Howard Metzenbaum was yesterday. I forgot. So thanks to Denise are making a gift, so we have 9 to go. And then we just heard from Edward Thomas from Canal Winchester. So
does
now
he
we
love
have
me too?
Actually, yes. Edward wrote,
oh,
I always
okay.
appreciate when Ken Rudin is on the show.
Oh. But I think Denise had more affection, didn't
Denise
she?
Denise had a little more, Denise had more affection than Edward, so.
Yeah, I thought so.
So, we're looking to hear from 8 more people in the next 12 minutes, and those 8 people can make a comment for Ken and see how much you can get him to swoon over you, right? 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. We're looking to hear from 8 more people before the end of the hour. You can join us for our Politics and a Pint event. You can get the t-shirt. But really, support the station in whatever amount fits into your budget. We're looking for participation. It's a great way to say that you appreciate shows like this, shows that talk about politics, that you appreciate having Ken Rudin on, that you appreciate Mondays when we have the reporter roundtable. So show your support in whatever amount works for you and be one of the 8 people remaining to make this hour a great success. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Just one last question. I wanted to back up to California for one more second because they have you. So now that Swalwell is out, there's 9 candidates in the race, and the top 2, regardless of party affiliation, go on to the November ballot. Is that like a California thing? Do a lot of states do that? I mean, we don't do that here in Ohio, but
a lot. No. It is California did, but that was part of Arnold Schwarzenegger's trying to get politics out of it. I mean, one Schwarzenegger was very strong about redistricting, and he wanted fair redistricting, and so he was against what Gavin Newsom did in California. But what Gavin Newsom did in California was in response to what Trump did in Texas and North Carolina and Missouri and other states like that by just just fixing the, you know, having mid-decade redistricting changes. And so so Gavin Newsom said, okay, we're going to do that in California too. Schwarzenegger didn't like that. He likes, you know, so-called good government without, you know, redistricting and things like that. So, but there are other states that like that too. It's called a jungle primary. But that's what
Wait,
happened the other, you know,
jungle? Jung I heard jumble, but not
jungle. I'm sorry, jungle.
jungle.
Jungle. I
Why is it
guess they
called that?
all, well, I don't know. And it's not, I mean, I guess I could think of why they do it, but basically they all, it's just like, you know, there are no rules. They all jump in together and they, you know, they fight it out. But, you know, when Kamala Harris was elected to the Senate, she faced in the November, she faced another Democrat, Loretta Sanchez, because they were the top two vote getters, and the Republicans were shut out of the opportunity of having a candidate in November. But that's what could happen if, you know, with all these 10 Democrats, there were so many Democrats running. I think there were nine or 10 Democrats and only two Republicans. If the Democrats split their vote, two Republicans could wind up on top, and the Democrats will get shut out of the governorship. And of course, that hasn't happened, or it's never happened out of the governorship. It would be the first Republican governor since Schwarzenegger.
Not necessarily about California, but the whole nation in general. What do you make of the fact that President Trump's polling numbers are going down and people are, you know, upset about the war in Iran? But at the same time, it's not like the Democrats are polling really high, right? It's not like an inverse. So why isn't it boosting Democrat polling numbers?
I don't know. I read a lot about that, and they always say, well, the Democrats don't have a policy. They don't have a plan. I don't know if that's true. I don't think it's true. I mean, I remember right before the 2024 elections, no, the 2026 elect. No, let's see, when was this? I guess, let me go back, 2025 elections. And a lot of analysts were saying, well, the Democrats are making a mistake by running only against Donald Trump. They should come up with more policies, more, you know, forward-looking things rather than we're anti-Trump. And I think I disagree. I think it's working. If Trump is unpopular, the Democratic strategy works. And it did work in 2025. Women were overwhelmingly elected governor in New Jersey and Virginia. We just saw the other day that in the Marjorie Taylor Greene congressional election in Georgia, even though the Republican won the seat, I mean, it was an overwhelming Republican district, the Republican vote was 25% less than it was in 2024. So there are signs that Democrats are gaining. I don't know. I understand what you're saying about, you know, well, I think a lot of people are looking at Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, the respected Democratic leaders in the Senate and the House, and they're saying, well, you know, they're not the leaders we want. But there are other Democratic leaders out there who are saying the right things, I think, for the party, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's interesting. I think maybe in an earlier incarnation of the show, maybe a couple of years ago, when I was asked to say who's going to be the Democratic field in 2028, I think one of the things I was most positive about was that Gavin Newsom was not going to go anywhere. I said that, you know, quote. And I think the reason I felt that way is that he was, you know, too slick, too West Coast elite, you know, the middle America, you know, the Ohios, the Michigans, the Wisconsins wouldn't, you know, like a candidate like that. But I think he's just effective. He stands up to what Trump is doing. He's driving the MAGA community crazy. And there are a lot of voices like that. There's, you know, there's Andy Beshear. There's Chris Murphy in Connecticut. There are a lot of effective Democrats. And, you know, even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who some people say, oh, she's so left wing, but she makes stronger cases against the Democrats than Chuck Schumer. I mean, Jon Stewart mercilessly, you know, destroys him because he stands there with his glasses on the bridge of his nose, and I'm saying, And, you know, Schumer's the kind of guy who says, I'm so upset that I'm going to write a letter to the editor. Well, Democrats want more than writing letters to the editor. So I think there are a lot of good Democrats out there.
All right, we have about 6.5 minutes left in the show, and we're still looking to hear from 8 more people. Make this hour a great success. Make your gift right now and support 89.7 NPR News during this membership drive. Listeners across our community are stepping up to support WOSU, choosing to give monthly so the station can stay strong and reliable. When you join them as a sustaining member, you are a part of what makes it all possible. Start your monthly gift today at WOSU.org. We have some great thank you gifts we're offering. The WOSU Retro Logo T-shirt. This is a fan favorite look from decades past, and it's in collaboration with Homage. So since the shirt is made by Homage, you know it'll be soft, comfortable, and high quality. Get a T-shirt and become a member and be one of the 8 we're looking to hear from in the last few minutes of this show. Get that gift right now at WOSU.org. Or you can attend a special members-only Politics in a Pint event. This is a great way to connect with the WOSU community. This will be a members-only Politics in a Pint event at 7th Sun Brewing on June 25th. You'll hear from a panel of journalists who will break down current events and have a lively conversation. And you can join the conversation. We'll take questions from the audience as well. Plus, everyone who attends will bring home a brand new pint glass. The pint glass says Power to the Public on one side, has our station logo on the other side, and the first drink is on us. So get a ticket to Politics in a Pint, get a pint glass, get one drink of your favorite beverage, and join us and support the station. Make this hour a great success. Attend. I know everyone listening right now is a political junkie, listening to the political junkie Ken Rudin. So join us for a members-only Politics and a Pint. Give now at WOSU.org. And Ken, we are really running out of time, so maybe you can answer these quickly. The last time you were on, we ran out of time before mentioning the passing of civil rights activist Jesse Jackson. He had launched unsuccessful bids for the Democratic nomination in 84 and 88. What do you think his political legacy will be? Whenever you heard he passed away, what was your immediate thought?
Well, you know, basically this was, you know, historic stuff. I mean, yes, Shirley Chisholm, the black congresswoman from Brooklyn, ran for president in 1972. But Jackson seemed to launch a serious campaign for the presidency that excited the African-American community in ways that we hadn't seen before. And while, you know, he may not have been the ideal candidate for the Democrats, I think he opened up the party to more voters, just like Donald Trump did with Republicans. Jesse Jackson did as well. He was never going to win the nomination. There were a lot of things in his past that people didn't like. But I kind of think that he led. I mean, maybe perhaps that Barack Obama wouldn't have been possible had it not been for Jesse Jackson. One thing I'll say, though, different is that Jackson really ran as a black candidate. I don't think Obama did. I think Obama happened to have been black and ran for president. But I think he opened up politics to a new demographic that we hadn't seen before. And again, anybody who gets more people to the polls is just, you know, tremendous. A tremendous story. Quick story, though.
Yeah.
I was working at ABC News, and I was Peter Jennings had given me assignments to do something about the history of black politics because of Jesse Jackson. So I gave out assignments about the Black Panthers and Shirley Chisholm, and everybody was looking for stories. And when an intern came back to me and said, "Ken, I got everything you wanted, but I couldn't find anything about Malcolm the 10th."
Oh dear.
And I'm saying, "Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
This is not working well."
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. You are running out of time to make your gift. We just heard from Alan Jones of Columbus. Alan says that WOSU is like a dividend you get from your stock, only you get it every day. Thank you for that gift, Alan. And we're asking you to join us before this hour ends. Just a couple minutes left in the hour. And we have 2 special gifts that we were talking about this hour, a members-only Politics in a Pint event on Thursday, June 25th. Enjoy a relaxed evening at 7th Sun Brewing and a lively discussion. And you'll also receive the Power to the Public pint glass, and your first pour will be on us. The pint glass has a station name on one side. It says Power to the Public on the other side. Join us for Politics and a Pint, the special members-only event. If you can't make it to the event, you can get our other thank you gift, the vintage WOSU logo T-shirt. It's an old logo for us making a comeback and a brand new shirt for you. This shirt is made by Columbus-based Homage. and it's a classic logo from about 40, 50 years ago. This comfortable, easy-to-wear shirt will be a great way to show your support for WOSU. Thanks to Brian Beater from Heritage, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Brian. And we heard from Peggy Williams in Columbus. Thank you for your gifts of support today. We have been talking about national politics this hour with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Amy. The primary's in 3 weeks. Make sure everybody goes out and vote.
Yes, vote in that primary, and that is on May 5th. And Peggy also left us a note that says, thanks for some excellent reporting, and she also loves me some Ken Rudin. So there you go, Ken.
Right, now I have to fight between her and Denise.
Denise and Peggy, I know, Denise and Peggy. Oh, my goodness. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. We're online at WOSU.org. This is the last minute. This is a great time to support public radio. It is no secret that public radio has had some changes to the way we are funded, but we are still here thanks to listener support. If you listen to All Sides every day, this is the perfect time to show your support and make a gift. We cover news of the day. We cover long-term trends. Make your gift today in any amount and show your support for this hour right now. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us, and thank you for your support of WOSU.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.